But if you have a Bible, please turn back to that passage in Exodus chapter 6. And before I begin my reflections, I would like to read a letter of complaint that I've received since last week. It says, "Dear Pastor Adam, I would like to register a formal complaint with regard to last Sunday's service. At the beginning of the sermon, you read part of a recipe for oaten raisin cookies. However, on the basis of what you read, it was not possible to actually make these cookies. You didn't read the ingredient list or quantities. You didn't finish reading the method, and you left us without any indication of what the finished product should look like. At best, this is disappointing. At worst, it's outrageous. Please, can you try to do better in future? Yours sincerely, Colin." You weren't very happy, were you, Colin, about what happened last Sunday?
Oh, no.
Well, Colin, I'm very sorry, and I will try to do better in future. Because Colin's right, isn't he? As he normally is. Part of a recipe by itself is not much good. You need to understand the bigger picture of what you're actually making. It's a bit like if you take a random novel and you open it up to the middle and just read a few random sentences. It's not going to make much sense unless you understand the bigger story. And that's sort of the situation that we find Moses in Exodus chapter 6. He needs to remember the bigger story of what God is doing. At the end of Exodus chapter 5, we left Moses asking this question, "Why? Why have you done evil to this people? I've come back to Egypt, I've followed your instructions, I've put in all this effort, and you haven't delivered your people at all. In fact, they're more oppressed than they've ever been. Why?" Now, we saw last week that Moses was wrong to expect that everything would work out smoothly. God had warned him otherwise. But Moses was right to expect that the Lord would be with him if he cried out, "Why?" And now in chapter 6, we get the Lord's gracious answer. And the Lord, as he responds to Moses, wants to remind Moses of the bigger picture of what's happening. The bigger story that Moses' life is part of. The bigger story that these circumstances are part of. That the situation that Moses and the people of Israel find themselves in is not just a random historical moment that happens to be going badly for them, but it's part of a divine story that will unfold just as God intends. And as Moses hears from God here, the bigger story that his life is part of, so we continue to hear from God the bigger story that our lives are part of. And so I hope this morning, as we spend some time looking at the Lord's reply to Moses, that we can be encouraged as we think about our own lives and the circumstances we find ourselves in. So let's think about Moses for a moment. And the Lord comes to Moses and reminds him of the whole driving out with a mighty hand thing. It says in verse 2, "I am the Lord." And then he points Moses back to the past. Because the story of Moses' life and the circumstances he finds himself in, well, that story doesn't begin with the burning bush. It's not a story that even begins with the birth of Moses and the whole basket thing. Actually, for Moses to understand his life and the life of the people of Israel and the circumstances they find themselves in, he has to look back even further. The Lord points him to these three people that we've met by name before: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you've got one of the listening sheets, one of the boxes is to draw or write something that happened in today's passage. And it's not so easy to draw today's passage because a lot of it's a conversation and then you have a load of names. But if you want something to draw, I've drawn a book representing a story. And towards the beginning of the story, we meet this person, Abraham, or Abram as he was at the time. And you can tell he's called Abraham because he's got an A on his top. And the Lord points Moses back to this Abraham. And how the Lord appeared to Abraham, we read about it in Genesis chapter 12, when the Lord says to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I'll make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you and make your name great so that you'll be a blessing." And that moment's even more amazing when we understand what's happened before in the story, which Moses would have done. The story goes back to when God created the world. But the world as it is now is not as God first created it. Something has disrupted life in this world in a major way, and that thing is sin. Disobedience. It's our human rebellion against God. That God has told humans how we should live in his world, and we've decided to go another way. We've wanted to do things our own way. All of us have followed that pattern. The first humans went down that road and brought devastation into this world, into our lives, into our relationships with each other and with God in heaven, and also even our relationship with the natural physical world around us. It's all been disrupted. And what we deserve for our sin, what we deserve for our disobedience against God, is we deserve to face his judgment. We deserve to be punished for our sin. And God showed that so clearly in the early chapters of Genesis when he sent this global flood across the whole world, wiping out everything apart from the living things that were on the ark, on that boat. What we deserve is we deserve to all be wiped out. But then, God freely chooses a people that he will bless. Against the backdrop of that sin which covers the world and that judgment that we all deserve, God freely chooses a people that he will bless. A people that he will bring into relationship with himself. A people that he will bring into a land where they can live securely with him as their God. A people who will be blessed to be a blessing to others. That's what God intends to do. That's the bigger story that he's working on. And Moses' life is part of that story. And what's happening in Exodus chapter 6 all flows from those promises of the past. You look at verse 5. Moreover, I've heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I've remembered my covenant. What's happening here to Moses and the people of Israel is flowing from those promises of the past. And those promises of the past mean that the end of Moses' story is not something that's up in the air with a big question mark, just have to take each day as it comes and see how it pans out. Now, God points Moses to the end of the story. And if you've got a listening sheet for the end of the story, I've drawn lots of people who are really happy to be enjoying the blessing of being in the land under God's rule. And you can tell they're happy because they've got happy, smiling faces. And you notice how insistent the Lord is from verse 6 about what will happen in the future. I'm the Lord, and I will bring you out. I will deliver you. I will redeem you. I will take you to be my people. I will be your God. You will know that I am the Lord your God. I will bring you out into the land that I swore to give to Abraham. I will give it to you for possession. I am the Lord. It's the bigger story of what God is doing. Those promises he made in the past will come to fulfillment. And Moses is still part of that story. The life of Moses is part of that story. The circumstances that God's people find themselves in is part of that story. The story hasn't changed. The ending hasn't changed. The Lord hasn't changed. His commitment to his people hasn't changed. That's the biggest story that Moses needs to remember. And he needs to remember it because he's stuck in the middle. In the in-between bit, between the beginning and the end. He's in the middle where he won't have all of the details of what's going on. He won't have all of the details because he's not God. So he doesn't see all of the details of what's going on. The journey from Abraham with his A on his top to the smiley happy faces. Some of it is very clear, but there are some question marks, those points where Moses is going to cry out, why? What's going on? I don't understand. But as Moses continues to remember that bigger story that his life is part of, so Moses can learn, as we sang at the beginning, to walk by faith and not by sight. To trust that each moment, each circumstance, is not just a random historical incident which may work out well or badly, but each moment flows from those promises of the past, leads to that hope of the future. And the whole thing is guaranteed by the Lord who remembers his people. Moses is safe in that bigger story, whatever's going on. Now, the people don't really get that when Moses goes to speak to them. They say, verse 9, they didn't listen. They're just so crushed and worn out and impatient because of what's been going on. And then Moses himself is getting a bit troubled. You remember a few weeks ago where Moses was stuck on that question asking, "Who am I?" And he needed to ask, "Who is it who's sending me?" Well, back in verse 12 now, he's gone back to that "Who am I?" question. Well, the people of Israel have not listened to me, so Pharaoh is not going to listen to me. I'm not the right person to speak for you, God. But even though they have more learning to do, we can now look back and see that things happened just as God said they would do, which is an encouragement for us as we think about the story of our lives. And the bigger story that our lives are part of. A bigger story which is an extension of this same story that we read about in Genesis 12 and Exodus chapter 6. One of the things when we're going through challenging situations, whether it's coronavirus or whether it's something else that we're facing, we can end up just focusing on here and now and trying to work out what God is doing right now. And that's understandable that our vision would shrink in that way. But if we get caught with that very narrow vision of just the here and now, then we'll very quickly fall into doubt and despair. But as we ask those questions, why? God continues through his word to point us to that bigger picture of what he's doing, that bigger story that our lives are part of, that bigger story that the circumstances of our lives are part of. That what we're facing at the moment is not just a random historical moment that happens to be going badly, but we are still safe in that bigger story of what God is doing. And the story of our lives doesn't begin with a burning bush. It doesn't even begin with our birth. Actually, the Bible keeps pointing us back even further to the past. See that the story of our lives fits into things that have come before. And that one of the big historical events that the Bible keeps pointing us to is the death of Jesus. And we have this word that's come up in Exodus chapter 6. This word covenant, to describe the relationship between God and his people. And it's a word that Jesus himself uses. I'll read from when he has the final meal with his disciples, his friends. And he takes the cup, he gives thanks, gives them the cup, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus came so that by his death he could establish a new covenant which would mean full forgiveness of sins forever, which would mean a new relationship between God and his people forever. It's a covenant that continues the story that we've seen in Exodus 6 and Genesis 12 is part of that same big story. And it comes against that same background of our sin and our rebellion and the judgment that we all deserve. And that Jesus came into this world to establish a new covenant by his blood. That covenant that means that as we trust Jesus, the future of our lives, the ending of our story, is not up in the air. Just have to take each day as it comes to see what happens. As we trust in Jesus, that covenant, that blood, means the ending of our lives is certain, secure, and we're safe in the divine story that will lead us there. The Bible talks about 2 Peter 3. It says that we're waiting for new heavens and a new earth, the home of righteousness. A place where we will experience the full blessing of knowing God. Where all of God's people will be together forever with him. We'll be in a new world, of which that land that the people in the Old Testament came to was just a picture. And we'll be living under God's perfect rule forever, which will mean nothing evil, nothing bad, no death, no pain, no suffering, no sin ever again. That's the future that is certainly, definitely ours as we trust Jesus. The bigger story of what God is doing points us back to Jesus dying on the cross, points us forward to that new heavens and new earth that will come when he returns, as he will one day. And we need to remember that bigger picture, because here we are, stuck in the middle between the beginning and the end. In between, in the middle of the story. And we don't see all of the details of what's happening now. We don't see all of those details because we're not God. And so we have moments where we experience great joy and great excitement at what's going on in the world, and we can see clearly how God is working. But then we have other moments where things don't work out as we had hoped, and God's hand seems hidden. And God doesn't always tell us why things are happening as they are. He may give us glimpses. He may remind us of how much of the suffering of this world is still caused by human evil. He may show us how he's at work through evil situations to bring about good. But he doesn't always give us all of the details. In fact, he never gives us all of the details. But as we remember the bigger picture, we can keep learning to walk by faith and not by sight, knowing that each moment of our lives now, each circumstances, it flows from those promises of the past. It leads to that hope of the future. And the whole story is guaranteed by the Lord who remembers his people. As God points Moses to remember that bigger picture, so he points us too to remember the bigger picture. As we look back at what's happened in the past and we look forward to what's coming in the future, we know whatever we face now, we're safe in that divine story. But one more thing I want to mention. Sorry, what's that, Colin? You've got a question. Is this another question about the recipe? No, it's another question. Colin, what's your question?
Why are there lots of names in Exodus chapter 6?
Why are there lots of names in Exodus chapter 6? That's a good question. Why are there lots of names in Exodus chapter 6?
Oh, I don't know. I thought you were the preacher.
Okay, well, I think there are a few reasons, and I'm not going to tell you most of those reasons, because you've got some time this afternoon that you can read through the list of names in Exodus chapter 6, take note of the people who are mentioned and the people who are not mentioned, and think about why we're given these names here. But can I just make one point of why I think these names are really exciting here? Because we've been told this big picture about what God is doing, the big story of God's work, a story that's even bigger actually than we have mentioned, because it goes from eternity past all the way to eternity future. That's as big as you can get as stories go. And yet for all the bigness of this story, As we remember the bigger story, we remember that it's still about people and God's love for actual individual people. We've been shown the big picture, and when we see the big picture of things, we can feel very small and like the individual person doesn't matter. But here, all of these names at the end of Exodus chapter 6 show us that even in the big picture, the individual does matter. Now, with all of the focus in these chapters in Exodus on the name of God, the God revealing his name, I am the Lord, yet he still wants to make sure that we get all of these names as well. He wants to tell us the names of Amram and Izhar and Ephron and Uzziel. It's sometimes we say that this person is a big picture person and this person is a details person. I don't know whether you're a big picture person or are you a details person. Well, the good news, friends, is God is brilliant at both. He's got the big picture sorted. He knows the end from the beginning. He determines the end from the beginning. The big story of your life, the big story of the universe is safe in his hands. But also, he is a details person. You can trust him with all of the details of your lives, just as each of these people could trust him as he knew them by name. We can trust him with the details of our lives within that big story. And as we look at the details of our lives, we often may ask that question, why? What's going on? I don't understand. And sometimes it may give us a glimpse of an answer of how he might be working for good. Sometimes we don't really have an answer. But one day, the story of our lives will enter a wonderful, eternal, final chapter where all of the loose ends will be tied up. Everything will come together in glorious, God-given perfection. And we know that day is coming. So as we think about our lives and the circumstances we face now and may face when lockdown lifts, if we know Jesus, we can see this bigger picture, this bigger story of what God is doing that encourages us to keep walking by faith and not by sight. So it's important for me to ask as we close, is this your understanding of your life? Do you have this understanding of what you're experiencing at the moment? Do you know this bigger story? Do you see yourself as part of this bigger story of what God is doing? If you don't know this story for yourself, it can be yours in Jesus. But without Jesus, for all of us, what we deserve is for the story of our lives to end in judgment, darkness, away from God forever. A terrible eternity. We've rejected the authority of God and offended him. We deserve to be shut out from his presence forever. That's where the story of our lives is, where we should expect it to end. But God the Son came into this world, Jesus Christ. And he came, he lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross, where he shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, so we could be forgiven, so we could be welcomed into God's family, so that we could experience the big picture, the big story of the universe from a very different position. A position where we know the blessing of God now and forever. You can come to Jesus today. You can ask him to forgive your sin, to put you right with the God who made you, to help you to understand the story of your life within that big picture of what God is doing, and to give you that hope that can be yours in Jesus. And if you want to know more about that, my contact details at the end of the video, please get in touch. But if you do have this understanding of how your life fits into the big picture of what God is doing, here's a fun afternoon activity for you after you've gone through the names in Exodus chapter 6. I think today would be a good day to get out your photo albums, and you can have a look through. And this is a picture of me as a baby. Wasn't I such a cute baby? I don't know what happened about that, sorry. But look through your photo albums and these memories that tell the story of your life and your family's life. And it will remind you of those really happy occasions, those joyful occasions. And it reminds you of those more painful, sad memories as well, whether the circumstances of the photo or people who are no longer with us. And then you can remember that each of these photos, each of these pictures, is part of that bigger story. Each of these moments in your life flows from those promises of the past, and leads to that hope of the future. And the whole glorious divine story is guaranteed by the Lord, who remembers his people, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you for what you've shown us of how you are at work in this world. We praise you for the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sin. We praise you for the hope that we have in him. And we ask that you would help us as we continue to go through challenging times to remember that bigger story, and you would teach us more and more to walk by faith and not by sight. And I pray for any who are joining us today who don't know Jesus, I pray that you would show yourself to them as the only one who can help us to make sense of this world in which we live, and the only one who can give us secure and certain hope. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.